Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
I stepped on her line. I always do that. And good morning. It is a lovely Monday morning here in Petaluma, and you are listening to 100 People You Should Know Radio Show with me, Suzanne Hirsch. And today I have a special treat for you. Her name is Stormy Knight of Net 101. Stormy, can you tell us a little bit about Net 101 can do for us? What is the mission of Net 101?
Yeah, well, the mission originally and why it's called Net 101 is I started out doing education classes for small business people to use the internet back in the mid-90s. And, you know, it's grown and morphed over the years. We've run our own online properties. We went out of consulting for a few years and came back. The main thing that we focus on and kind of still stays with the name of Net 101 is we're a consultative seller to small businesses in terms of what they should be doing with their online marketing. Part of it is to educate the client to understand what it is that they could be doing or should be doing or might fit well with their organization. And the other part of it is to take a look at what their resources are, both time, money, and expertise, and try and make a good fit. The things that we can do for them, we do. The things that can be done in-house, I try and point them towards handling it themselves as much as possible. I don't deal with Fortune 500 companies, which is, you know, good and bad. They bring big money, but they tend to be, you know, huge behemoths that you have to deal with. I like to sit down with a small business person and find out what it is their goals are and what they're trying to accomplish. And then as much as possible with the expertise that I have, work with them to get a solution that makes sense.
Now, you recently spoke at Work Petaluma right here in Petaluma downtown. What was that like for you?
Well, I've actually spoken there twice previously for different technology-related issues, which is kind of part of the same mission of getting people educated. This time around, I did something I usually start talk about online marketing and everything that I do in terms of speaking. But I've recently become really interested in the issue of productivity and how it affects small businesses. So I have a presentation that I've put together on the tools that are out there for free, both in terms of ideas and concepts and online services that can make small businesses, especially solo entrepreneurs or freelancers, be much more productive. Because I'm a two-person business. I work with my husband. And, you know, when you sell, to a certain extent, you sell your time, things that accomplish more in less time and less of your resources are really, really key to being successful. And not spinning your wheels and spending inordinate amounts of time doing busy work. And so that's something that's kind of keeping me interested right now in things outside of just doing straight up online marketing.
Now, I just wanted, I asked that question because I wanted people to know that you do take some opportunities to speak because I was there and it was great. I loved it. And
oh, great.
It was hugely helpful for me in particular. And so what made you decide or realize that you wanted to get into online marketing?
I actually had a mail order catalog of environmental products from 1990 to 1995. And the mail order has a bad rep in terms of it tends to eat its own tail, meaning you print up catalogs, you pay for the postage, you get the orders back, you hopefully make more money than what those first two things cost, but you have to grow your list. So the list grows, the cost of printing and mailing gets bigger, so you eat up whatever profit went from the last set of sales, and it keeps chasing itself. And so in 1995, after like 4.5 years of doing that, Al Gore was out there talking about the information superhighway. And so I thought, oh, I need to find out about this thing. And what I found out was that it was at its very infant stage. But what it did is it made me pay attention to issues having to do with e-commerce. I wasn't necessarily interested in putting my, you know, my great thoughts out there into the world. I really wanted to sell stuff. And because I was paying attention from that standpoint, and of course all the tools at that in 1995 was ridiculous. I went to one of the few places in Los Angeles that was doing e-commerce in 1995, and they wanted $15,000 to put six pages of my catalog up online. And I don't even know how they were solving that problem at that point. But I said to myself, "Man, I am in the wrong business if someone can charge $15,000 for that," because I had built it, I had designed it, and did all the layout myself in Quark, and learned a whole bunch of stuff about desktop publishing so that I could handle that myself. So I'm kind of a hands-on person, and I started down the road of figuring out how this web thing worked. And right off the bat, when I started telling people what I was doing, they said, "Oh, I need a class in that." So I went out and registered Net 101, and last month, which was March, was the 20th anniversary since I registered that domain. So that's what really got me started in doing online marketing, and it, of course, is a constantly moving target. It's something that you have to be willing to educate yourself all the time on. And as much as possible, when I meet with a small business person, I totally get the idea that they do not have time to pay attention to this stuff. Not only as it is at this moment, but as it's going to be 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years down the road. So as much as possible, I try to simplify everything to the point where at least the person can be making a good judgment about what they should and shouldn't be doing.
And then you have the folks like me that are just not, we don't feel all that competent when it comes to all this stuff and online marketing. What do you suggest for people like us?
Do what you can. Don't try and bite off something that you don't understand. One of the problems I see happen over and over again with small business people, especially people who are not terribly technical, is for them to assess where they're at in terms of what I can do today and what I realistically might think about being able to do a couple of weeks, couple of months from now. And if you don't have time to pay attention to social media, then don't do Twitter because that's a huge time suck. If your market is business to business, then don't waste your time on Facebook. Spend your time on LinkedIn. If you understand Facebook and are doing it personally, then it's not that big of a leap for you to do it for your business. And there's only a few things that you need to learn. So it's important to understand. And if you're really just scared of computers, then you need to just realize that you are going to need to at least have a general knowledge of how computers work and feel comfortable around them. And if you have to take classes, because there's plenty of great classes for all age groups, all skill levels and stuff. Mm-hmm. But don't kid yourself that you're going to create a good website when you're not comfortable with computers. And don't necessarily convince yourself that your nephew can do as good of a job as a professional web developer in terms of your website. I've seen a lot of bad websites, and they're almost always because somebody who you love and can't scream at was involved with it.
Right. I trade actually with a professional website developer. His name is Jacob Gansler, and I just wanted to put that out there for folks too. And they can call me if they'd like his name and number again. Website's great. I'm really, really happy with it. Wouldn't have been able to do any of that myself at all.
Right.
Because I'm just not at all tech savvy. So what I understood you to say earlier in a nutshell was that you got into this because somebody was having to do it for you and you were having to pay a lot of money for it.
I didn't pay for it. Trust me.
Oh, okay.
I just said no. $15,000 is not what I'm going to.
Okay.
Not what I'm going
so
to be paying for.
You decided to not to do it yourself, so you wouldn't have to pay that much for it.
Right.
Okay.
I never ended up putting that catalog online. What I ended up doing, however, fairly quickly, was having people come to me and say, "How do you put stuff up online?" And that actually was a better opportunity at that moment than continuing to try and to print and mail order catalogs. And that fairly quickly, I mean, the first class that I did, someone at the end of the class said, "So how do you make web pages?" And I literally did not know. But I said, "I will try and find out for you." And that's put me into a path that I continue on to this day.
Okay, well, cool. Here's what I really want to have happen now. I'd really like to hear you put out your contact information and specifically page where the page URL that you sent to me where I was able to find all the suggestions that you gave at that talk at Work Petaluma where you named some really great web tools that we could use, like Dropbox and all the other ones that you named, and tell again a little bit about what some of those tools are good for.
Yeah, I don't actually have that. I haven't put it up on SlideShare yet, so I don't have a URL to go directly to it. Anybody who sends me an email to Stormy, and that's Stormy at net101.com, and asks for the presentation in a PowerPoint, a PDF format, I'm happy to send it to them. I just have it there. And I actually am going to open that up real quick and just talk briefly about some of those items.
That would be great if you would, because that was a wonderfully helpful talk. I really, really enjoyed it too.
Sure. Let me open that PDF of that. And the original concept here is that there's a lot of great resources out there for small business people. And they just don't necessarily know that they exist. So part of it is to, there we go. Part of it is to let people know that they exist. The first two things I had in that presentation were two books. And all of these things are free. Both of these books are available at any local library because they're fairly popular books. The first one was Influence, which was by Robert Cialdini, Cialdini. And it's about behavioral psychology. This is, you know, if someone's a salesperson, they kind of learn through osmosis about, you know, making the offer be for a short period of time so the person feels some need to move forward with it, to give someone something for free, and then they in turn will want to help you by buying something. All of those different triggers that people have to want to like, know, and trust people are all based on behavioral psychology. So it's kind of for people who are not natively good salespeople, which I consider myself to be one of those people, it reminds you that people have a certain psychological response to what you do to them and how you make them feel. And in many cases, that actually can turn into business. So for a small business person or a salesperson who may be not quite understanding why something that they attempted to do fell flat on its face, it's good to have an overview of why people do certain things. The other book was Getting Things Done by David Allen. And it is about the fact that most people think that they can keep all of their stuff in their head and all of their to-dos, all their follow-up calls, all that kind of stuff. And that is a recipe for disaster, especially in the 21st century when we are all being exposed to huge amounts of information. So having a system in place where you can track and maintain that information is really key to being able to open up your mind, get all that stuff off the table, and then just move forward with the things that actually need to occur, and putting them in some kind of priority order. So for a small business person who's literally wearing a lot of hats and, you know, however many metaphors you want to make, juggling a lot of different things, it's really key to being able to clear all of the decks off and know that you have everything under control, is a huge stress relief. There are a couple of the other things, Dropbox, which you just mentioned, a lot of people don't realize that they don't, first of all, they don't need to keep everything on their own computer. And secondly, everything that they keep in a trusted outside location can be accessed with their phones or their mobile devices or when they're on the road or when they're making a sales presentation. All of those things, for people who are not technically adept, they don't realize that this is possible. So they don't take advantage of a lot of different situations that would be really, really helpful and make them look very professional, because they're depending on, I have all that stuff on my desktop back in my office. Going through here really quickly, I use a customer retention management program, which is referred to as a CRM, called Nimble, and it's the baseline of that is free. Yeah, there's a paid version of it also, but most small businesses don't need it. There's a to-do program called Asana, A-S-A-N-A. And for people who are into to-do lists like myself, you can go crazy with that. But the great thing about it is that you get up in the morning and you don't have to do a huge amount of juggling to figure out what you're doing from day to day. We talked about Dropbox. There's another program that's similar but not the same as Dropbox called Evernote. And the main differences between Evernote and Dropbox is Evernote actually allows you to see and search the items that you store there. So items like PDFs, articles that you've got off the internet, web locations, images, those kind of things that you have to be able to see, Evernote is excellent for. Dropbox is good for behaving like a hard drive on your computer. So you only can see the title of it. So if you have all of your projects for client ABC, you can have a external Dropbox account that's holding that information for you. So if you're meeting with the client ABC company, and they said, "Oh, I don't know where that PDF is," and you go, "Oh, I can just get this off my phone, or, you know, and I can send it to you from there." So that flexibility with the amount of with data, and we're all facing huge amounts of data nowadays. So your ability to interact with all of the information that's moving through your life is really key to not, you know, it's like the difference between having stacks and stacks and stacks of paper that you can't find anything in and having stacks and stacks and stacks of electronic information that you can't find anything in. Having Dropbox and Evernote working together for you to maintain your data actually makes you very, very efficient and effective in terms of accessing all of that stuff. And the other thing I mentioned at that presentation was, as I'm thinking about productivity now in the last few months, is that email is not a filing cabinet, which is something that I see at clients' locations all the time, that people never.
Yeah, I had been making that mistake myself just forever. I had, you know, thousands and thousands of emails that I was saving for God knows what reason. And after you said that, I thought about it, and I came home, and the next day I cleared out just about everything from my email box.
Right. So, you know, it's perfectly fine to file it, but file it, as opposed to letting the inbox be the filing cabinet. The inbox is your place to tell you what the most recent communications are in your life and the things that you actually have to process. The inbox should not just be the dumping ground of all things that's ever come to you via email. And I see this all the time in people's offices and in their lives. And it causes them huge amounts of stress. So because it causes them stress, they don't want to actually process it. They just look at it. And if you look at email, nothing actually occurs. A tree falls in the forest, it makes no sound. If you look at your email, nothing gets accomplished. You actually have to process it. So having, to tell people, this isn't just you. There's a reason people do this, i.e. I might need it someday. Well, the good news is that if you set it aside, and once you've actually dealt with it and you set it someplace, you can find it years from now. I have been using Apple Mail since 1995. I have every email of any importance ever had archived somewhere.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up, Stormy. Is that your phone?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got 5 bars.
Okay.
So can you still hear me?
So you did call in on a cell phone. Is it possible that you can call us back quickly on a landline?
Sure.
Okay, super.
Yeah, I'll try
that. I'm going to let you go. Call us right back on a landline. Okay, folks. She will call right back in on a landline. This is what happens with cell phones. I thought I'd... I don't always tell people, I should please call on a landline and not a cell phone, because Blog Talk Radio station seems to have a problem with cell phones. Terribly sorry. But this is someone that I think everybody really, really needs to hear from. This is very important stuff, because pretty much everybody has their own little business these days, or they work for somebody else, and they can introduce some of these concepts to their bosses and their businesses and really benefit by them in terms of easier organization. And I'm going to put her back on and let you all have her tell you a little more. There you are. Have you been listening
yeah.
in?
Okay. Yeah, am I coming in clearly now?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I was just telling everybody why they all need to know Stormy Knight. And it's partly for the organization of their business, and partly because it can just generally benefit their business in a whole lot of ways. Organization is really just the tip of the iceberg, but it's really a very tippy top, because if you don't have organization, you got nothing.
Right, because that's what determines your effectiveness. Anytime you're spinning your wheels trying to get to data or trying to get it all together in one place, it tends to be time that's wasted. It's very stressful.
How much of this can you as a business implement for our businesses in the way of organization and setting up of organizational systems and other things? And what is all that called? What do we ask for when we call you?
Well, I can certainly talk to people about it. I don't have a product. I'm actually in the process of putting together a product for people to help them with this and to get them to understand some basic concepts about how the things that come to us in terms of communication, how they generate information, and how they generate actions that need to be taken. I have a website up right now for that, and I'm putting together a mailing list, and I'm going to be working on that in the future. The website for that, if you would like to get on the mailing list, if you're listening to this, is comnin.fact.com. And the idea is based that every communication that you have turns into either information or action or both. And so the name is to remind you, Calm, Inf, Act, that's how you can move through stuff. And the more you can recognize every communication that comes into you, what you're supposed to do with it, the less stress you're going to have about what am I supposed to do with this thing. I find that people leave things in the inbox because they're not 100% sure, A, what they're supposed to do with it, and B, mm-hmm. where that is supposed to go. A lot of people have their email software, but they don't have a place to collect the information that the email generates, and they don't have a place to turn whatever action they have to take into something that they can get up in the morning tomorrow and say, ah, these are the things that I have to
now
do based on the communication that I've had.
I'm going to stop you there for a minute, Stormy, because we have a little less than 5 minutes left. And
sure.
I'm going to ask you, the number that you're calling in from now, is this a good number for them to contact you at?
The number I was calling from previously, I'm calling you from my home phone now.
Okay, so you'd rather that we all called you on your cell phone in order to get some professional help from you.
Exactly, and that is 707-490-4542.
707-490, say it again.
4542.
Uh-huh. 4542. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you weren't breaking up each time you said it, so that's why I was helping you out there and had you say it twice, because you're still breaking up a little bit, so it must be Blog Talk Radio's fault. But, you know, Blog Talk Radio is a great way to get your podcast out there. You might want to try it yourself, Stormy, and you might want to recommend it to others. You might want to research it and see if it's something you want to recommend to others for their businesses.
Yeah, it's actually, it's been a great interface, other than me breaking up, which could be any number of factors.
Right.
But, yeah, the way that it's been set up is really, really good.
Yeah, you're breaking up a lot less now than you were on the cell phone.
Right.
Kind of late in the game on the cell phone. Okay, so I'm going to allow you to say goodbye to our listeners now because we've got about 3 minutes left. And
mm-hmm.
Any last words for us?
Small business people shouldn't be afraid of the internet. I mean, I started out my first classes back in 95 saying you can't break the internet. And it always got a laugh, but it's absolutely true. A lot of people are under the impression that if I go on to this internet thing, something bad's going to happen and as long as you think and as long as you see a person in front of you when you post things and you communicate online, it's very hard for bad things to happen in the internet. So that's the takeaway is that you should see the internet as a communication device that's going to help build your business and not as something that is dangerous or painful. Let a professional do the painful part for you.
And you will help people learn how to do that if they call you at the following number, 707-490-4542, yes?
Yes. Always, phone consultations are free.
Thanks so much for talking to us, Stormy. I'm going to let you go.
Thank you,
now,
Sue.
And I will get back to you shortly with the link to the show. Full day, Stormy. And everybody else, also have a wonderful day and a wonderful rest of your week. This has been Sue Hirsch on 100 People You Should Know via Blog Talk Radio with Stormy Knight.